The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks to you, O Christ. You're welcome to be seated. Readings will include, this is not by my choice, this is what the lectionary gives me, and that's just fine with me. But I think this is a good time for us to revisit what a parable is, because we're not too familiar with parables in our daily lives. C.H. Dodd wrote nearly a century ago that a parable arrests the hearer by its vividness or strangeness and leaves the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to tease it into active thought. In other words, parables make you think. Parables aren't morals, as in the moral of this story is, but rather they are provocative, not simply describing something, but doing something, propelling us into a new reality. The parables that Jesus around us in a different way, challenging us to push, grow, and nurture our faith, interpreted in a variety of ways. Looking around the sanctuary, I know some of you pretty well, and I know you have different life backgrounds. Like, your life stories do not match up. You have a variety of backgrounds that you come from, and so you are going to hear parables differently. Many of Jesus' parables seem unlikely or odd to even to me, but to most listeners. Listen to this. Which of you would leave 99 sheep in the wilderness that is still in danger and go and seek one that was lost? Or which of you would sweep all night long, again with no sleep, for a coin worth about a week's labor, and when you found it, invite your friends to a party celebrating such a paltry discovery, and likely spend twice that amount on the party entertaining them? The answer to both of these questions is probably, truthfully, Lord, not many of us would do that. The real zing in this text comes in the last line. I want to make sure I don't get it wrong. Jesus says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Well, I usually identify with the shepherd in this text, the searcher of sheep. I am aware that just as many people identify with being that lost sheep, or with being those other 99 sheep that are left in danger so the shepherd can find that one of the finder, then the lost one, or the 99 who are abandoned as the shepherd leaves to search, throws us off from an even greater truth. That we spend much of our lives looking for something that we may never find. Stick with me for a moment. This can happen in several ways. Think of how many of us have toiled day in and day out for our career. And then one day we discover that we've neglected those things in our lives that we are actually seeking. Or how many of us distract? Maybe a new outfit, a vacation, a new truck, or a fancy car, or a cabin, a boat, or fill in the blank for whatever you have been working toward. Or perhaps the world around us changes and we find ourselves seeking what we think we once had. An idyllic childhood, a young adulthood, or the days when our kids were still at home. We remember the past and we think that it's better than what we have right now. Meanwhile, thinking of how the grass is greener elsewhere, we are distracted from what really matters, the love of God that calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Again, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What I'm hearing in that is turn to the Lord your God. I think I've shared with you before that in my reading of the Don't Recommend It, Leviticus gets really very boring, and there are a lot a little bit. But I do remember mentioning to Tony, my husband, when I was reading through this, that the Bible got really boring at one point because it seemed like it was the same story over and over and over. It was almost comical, clownish, if you will, that the people of God would turn their faces to God and then quickly forget and turn away from God. And God would call to them and say, "Return to the Lord your God." And then the people would eventually turn back to God, and then they would forget again who they are and whose they are, and they would turn away again. Some of you are nodding your heads because I imagine we've all had this experience in our own lives. We think that we're following the road we're supposed to follow, and then we get distracted. It can even happen when we think we are doing good. I couldn't help but think of a television series, The Good Place. Is anyone familiar with The Good Place? It's on NBC, but it was on Netflix. And so Netflix told me to watch it, and it did. And so that's probably why it's in my head. But I thought in particular of one character. There's a little bit of a spoiler here, but I'm sure you'll forgive me. One of the main characters, Chidi, is a philosophy professor who specializes in moral ethics. And he lives his life obsessed with making the right moral, just choice. The problem is, in doing so, he becomes paralyzed by any decision he makes. It's pretty hilarious to watch, isn't it? Some of you have watched this. He stands at a coffee cart at one point, trying to decide what to get, and all of the information about things like, was the almond milk sustainably sourced, or did these coffee beans get picked under good conditions, fair working conditions, in a way that blueberry the environment. He ends up skipping breakfast and coffee altogether because he is so paralyzed. And we see him again and again throughout the storyline in these situations where his loved ones grow irritated or even exhausted with him because he cannot make a choice. It's funny, but I think many of us in our own lives are paralyzed in a similar way. And it can lead us to a strange place, sometimes one in which we seek to stay busy enough so that we don't waste a moment and so that we don't think any more deeply about what we're actually doing. We might actually be on autopilot, as it were. I think in particular of a conversation I had with a young mother years ago. Her school-age kids were going to separate parks and recreation programs, and they had overlapped in a terrible way. We were taking a walk together, and as she complained to me, I thought, well, the solution is pretty simple. You just opt out of one or the other. She's supposed to be in four places at once with her two separate children, and her husband wasn't able to help because that was the evening he was committed to another local organization. Well, I made the mistake of telling her so. Well, just give one up or the other. It's not such a hard choice. She didn't take it too well. And it was then that I learned that we need to be gentle with people and perhaps get them to a more calm place before we suggest any solutions. She was just looking for someone to listen and nod and agree with her that it was crazy, the life of a mom. Of times we can become blinded to the world around us because of all the, I have no idea how I ever had any time to work because I'm so busy too. Indeed, it is commanded. Observe that we are supposed to be living a little more simply than we do. We need to take time to breathe, to embrace the world our think is lost. But I tell you, turn God over your God who repents. Turn then that we must remember that we are not alone. Return. And not only is God leading us toward God, God is extravagant in embracing us when we return, throwing a party to celebrate what has been found, and sometimes that is over there. God, then this extravagance that we see in the story, when we cheer of anything, I wouldn't love. And those, no wonder there is such rejoicing. It seems appropriate here to mention that today we are welcoming into membership today could be described as lost and now found. You would have to talk to them individually to know as a congregation. Our new members, presence here, new members that we are welcoming today. We are, that is what God's celebration is that we are all about. We gather together in this place. And it is likely that we never would have encountered one another otherwise. We are grateful for the gathering of leading us together. Let us be ready for the celebration. Alleluia.